Time for Money News on this Monday morning, March 25. And Shane Oliver, Chief Economist with AMP, joins us. Good morning to you. We're getting close to Easter. We've got some inflation figures coming up later this week. Is that right?
That's right, Luke. And good morning to you too. It's the monthly inflation data for February. It used to be quarterly in Australia, but we now get these monthly numbers. They're not quite as reliable as the quarterly numbers. They bounce around quite a little bit. But obviously, those numbers will be looked at because we did get some strong jobs numbers late last week. And that led to fears that these interest rate cuts, which we're hoping for soon, might get delayed. So hopefully the inflation numbers remain reasonably benign.
All right. Hey, listen, nothing much happened in Wall Street on Friday. So we'll look at the markets tomorrow, Tuesday. But look, I wanted to talk to you about a story that came to my attention last Friday. There's some market research and it's revealed that an alarming number of Australians are broke. A recent study conducted by Finders Consumer, I don't know who they are, but they're a tracker. They've revealed the survey, which canvassed 3,214 respondents, they recorded personal finances, and it seems to indicate a significant 45% of Australians have less than $1,000 in the bank. That translates to about 9.4 million individuals. The study says the average bank balance for 9.4 million Australians is $210. What do you make of this? It's a bit sad if it's true.
It certainly is, Luke. Finder is basically a financial services company, helps you find a cheap mortgage and so on, helps you with your finances. So they conduct these surveys periodically. You always got to be a little bit wary of surveys because they're not covering everybody. It covers just over 3,200 people. But they do provide an indication that quite a big chunk of Australian, and I think they're just surveying adults, given the numbers there, adult Australians are actually running very, very low balances. You know, $210 average saving, as they point out, won't be enough to buy a new tyre. If you get
a flat tyre, you're broke.
You'll be off the edge.
Is this the demographic? Are these the people that people like Wallet Wizard are going for? By their commercials, yes. You know, in the Wallet Wizard commercials, you swallow a trumpet or you've got a hole in the wall or something breaks. Where are we going to get the money for that? And up comes this bloke in a cape. That's the market they're after, isn't it?
Well, it quite possibly is. I don't think these people would be with a mortgage. I know they've got their own problems, but the numbers indicate that people with a mortgage are actually in slightly better financial shape. I think a lot would be relatively young people, renters. And the basic problem here, of course, and this is a serious issue, is the rise in the cost of living, electricity costs and so on. They've all eaten into people's savings. And that's why we've got these very low numbers. Now, of course, they're not falling off the edge. They can probably get by in an emergency, maybe by relying on parents or whatever it is. But still, it does tell you there is a bit of an issue here. And I think Finder have pointed out the need for greater financial literacy training and education in Australia.
Shane, should financial literacy be taught in schools? Surely how to learn not to live hand to mouth and how to budget. That's a skill as important as maths and English, isn't it?
Well, I would think it is, and I'm still surprised that it's not taught. I mean, I was lucky that I chose economics.
Yeah, that's surprising, yeah.
Yeah, but I just don't understand why this isn't an essential. People don't, young kids don't have to spend, once you hit 15, 16, a few hours a week just learning about financial literacy. Because I think if that were the case, then some of these problems could be avoided. I mean, obviously, when you're running down to $210 on average savings and you do get a flat tire, you turn to credit cards and you let your credit card balance go up, you're paying 20% interest on that, or you turn to buy now, pay later, which of course also has high interest if you don't pay by the appropriate date. So it does lead to bigger problems down the track. And if people were told, and it's not their fault, but if they were told in school, or got some education program as to how compound interest works, for example, and how that can send you broke if you get too much debt.
Yeah.
I reckon that would be extremely useful.
Oh, me too.
I mean, a rough rule of thumb is that you should ideally have 3 months' worth of income set aside as precautionary savings so that if you lost your job, you could at least survive for 3 months. So we had an emergency. There's also other little issues here. A lot of people don't worry about the interest rate they're getting on their savings accounts. They should be shopping around to try and get a higher interest rate if possible. So the sort of things you can do, or look for ways to get your costs down for a little while if you possibly can. You know, go without the coffee until you build up that buffer of savings is another thing to do.
So I wonder, of those 3,214 people, which equates to 9.4 million Australians, how many of them do you think are financially illiterate? And I don't want to demonise these people who are doing it tough, but how much of it is money mismanagement, do you think, and or just the high cost of living, high rents, high price of childcare, high cost of everything?
Look, to be honest with you, I think it's a combination of things. Yes, there would be a group who don't really understand finance, but I think a bigger issue right now is the high cost of living. And that has caught many people by surprise. I mean, some might have come out of the pandemic with higher savings because, you know, we couldn't spend much through that period and we, in many cases, got government support. But of course, the cost of living pressures have kept many, caught many people by surprise. Just fuel costs, you know, filling up your car, all these sorts of things, electricity bills, rents, massive increases. And I think that's probably the bigger factor behind the problem we're seeing in these numbers.
But I still think financial literacy, basic budgeting should be taught mandatory at school. I really do. I agree with you. Shane Oliver, Chief Economist with AMP. Always good to talk to you. The beginning of a fresh new week. A short week for us this week, Shane.
It is. It is. It's always nice around Easter, I think, that change of season. Although the good news is that often at Easter time, daylight saving ends.
But that's right.
In some of the states around Australia, New South Wales, the one where we're in, we got another week's reprieve before
Shane,
that goes away.
Shane, I'm everywhere. Okay, I've got New South Wales, then I've got Queensland behind me, I've got Adelaide, I've got Perth. I mean, I've got the whole lot. I broadcast to four different time zones, so don't talk to me, okay?
We shouldn't do that. We'll stick away from daylight saving.
Stick away.
Different story, different state.
Stick away. Exactly. Shane, always good to talk to you. Happy Monday.
Thanks, Luke. You too.